Welcome to a Friday edition of Locked On Jaguars, folks. It's game week in the opening week of the NFL. And here on Locked On Jaguars, the opening week of the NFL is brought to you by our friends over at Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design and premium fabrics. Mack Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. You can believe that. The promo code from Locked On gets you 20% at MackWeldon.com. That's right. You go to MackWeldon.com and give them the promo code Locked On, and it gets you 20% off on their fine products. Well, the season has started for at least two teams, and as we head into the weekend, everyone will be playing on Sunday, with the exception of four of the teams who will play on opening Monday Night Football. The alarming thing about last night's game, and I know it concerned the Packers and the Bears, and we'll let Locked On Packers and Locked On Bears figure all of that stuff out. But there's a parallel from last night's game that I can kind of pull into the Jaguars situation. Both of those teams that played last night decided that it was best in the preseason to not play their quarterbacks, and I think they even held out a few more people. And you saw the sluggishness. It was a 10-3 score. So my initial question as we open this Friday podcast is this. Could there possibly be a little bit of a letdown offensively from Jacksonville, because they absolutely didn't play a quarterback in preseason with the exception of about a quarter? They didn't play anybody pretty much during the preseason, and that includes offensive linemen, the wide receivers. One game they held out 32 people. So that tells you right there that the biggest concern for Jacksonville was getting into this season as healthy as they could possibly be. And I totally get that, and I understand that, because they were decimated by injuries last year. But you have to wonder, in a league where you just can't give away games, if that'll lead to a slow start for them, not only offensively, but defensively. Maybe they'll get off to a slow start while guys are trying to figure it out. And at the end of the day, when it comes down to the end of the year and you're one game off from a couple of things, you could be one game off from a playoff berth. You could be one game off that separates you from the wild card and the divisional title. What about the home field advantage throughout? I mean, we've seen in the past where these things have affected teams. So you really, 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 if you're Jacksonville, hope that the fact that those two teams struggled last night is not a microcosm of chemistry having to be built and preseason games not being played. And it'll lead to a bigger discussion, because most people think that the preseason is useless. However, if the regular season games are going to look like preseason games, then they're not really that useless. It's just that they don't count. So you have to balance out whether or not you care if a guy gets hurt in a game that doesn't count more than you care if a guy gets hurt in a game that does count. And then you have to factor in that, okay, if the game doesn't count, can it be a Pro Bowl situation where in the preseason, especially early, guys just don't kind of go after each other? I don't know if that'll work. And the reason why is because guys are actually fighting for jobs and roster spots. So you really, really want to show what it is that you do. But most of the people I've ever talked to have always told me that practice, the eye in the sky, they catch every single rep, that really is the most important thing. In the preseason, the only added thing you get from the preseason is you want to see a guy under the lights and see if he actually gets nervous or he's able to maintain that same sort of intensity and transfer what he sees on the practice field to under the lights in front of people, in front of 60, 70,000 people, and if they get nervous or not. So very interesting. This is not the best opponent to have these questions about offensively. But if there's any silver lining, that silver lining comes in the fact that the Jaguars' best unit, the best part of this football team, which is their defense, is playing against the thing with Kansas City that you're afraid of. So if you gotta slay the lion, man, if you gotta face the dragon, at least you're gonna do it with the big guns on your football team. And I think that's what you see at TIAA Bank Field on Sunday. All right, man, we're gonna get ready to step away and go to our breaks. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to take a look at some of these contract situations. And what I mean by that is these contract situations, man, you know, you get to the point where you think that a team can't afford a player, and then you look around the league and you see several teams making a lot of moves to afford players and spending that money. And speaking of something that's on the money, man, here's something that you can check out. Every Wednesday we do an NFL crossover edition. That's right, a crossover edition where we go behind enemy lines. This past week we did it with Kansas City. You can look on all your platforms and see the Locked On Chiefs, Locked On Jaguars crossover edition that we did. And we'll do it again next week. We're going to do it again next week for the Houston with Locked On Texans. So check that out. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and coming up after the break, we'll get into some of these contract situations where these teams are spending that money. We'll do that in just a second on Locked On Jaguars. Hey, man, it's your man T-Wig, and it's time to celebrate. Football is finally back, and DraftKings is the leader in one-day fantasy football, and they have a huge one-week contest, or week one contest, this Sunday, and you won't want to miss that. Let me tell you what it's all about. To kick this season off, DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at $2 million. That's right, $2 million in prizes with your first deposit when you put the code in, Locked On, during sign-up. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, every throw, every catch mean more with DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Plus, all new existing users can get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's some extra cash to play with this football season. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching a game quite like having a shot at $2 million. Download the DraftKings app now and use Locked On as your promo code. And for a limited time, both new and existing users can get a deposit bonus of up to $500. And new users, don't miss this extra special week one bonus. Enter code Locked On to get a free shot at $2 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's code Locked On only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 required. Deposit bonus requires a 25-time playthrough. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, welcome back to segment two of Locked On Jaguars. I am Tony Wiggins. Yesterday, in the return back to normalcy with the Jaguars, there were several press conferences, one of which Jalen Ramsey spoke to the media, and a lot of noise was obviously made about a comment that Jalen Ramsey, he congratulated Miles Jack for his contract. He says he kind of mentioned that, and I'm going to paraphrase him a little bit. He kind of mentioned that, well, between, you know, him, Miles, and Jan, that all three of them had to get done. He was happy to see that Miles got his contract done. And then he hit it. He said, hey, man, look, maybe they can't keep us all three together, you know. And I think he's been a little bit facetious. I think he was just throwing that out there almost like sarcastically, because I think it's a mistake to think that they really can't do it. And I think he knows that they can actually get it done. Here's how they can get it done, and here's why they can get it done. If you look at the Dallas Cowboys, and I know that if you use Dallas as an example, people think that that's an outlier because that franchise has more capital, more money. Their net worth is, what, $4 or $5 billion. Jerry owns his stadium. He has more cash flow. To a certain extent, some of that stuff does play into it, but really it kind of doesn't, because the salary cap is the way the salary cap is set up. Everybody spends the same amount of money, and everybody can maneuver the same way. Sometimes not having that extra cash as a cash flow option can really hinder a team. But in this situation, I don't think that's what it is at all. Let me give you an example. In the offseason so far, Jerry Jones gave Zeke Elliott 6-year, $90 million. Now, we're just going to use those funny money numbers because we don't necessarily know the details, because the only thing that's truly guaranteed in these contracts is guaranteed money. But let's just say, for this argument, Zeke, from what I heard, is the highest paid running back in the NFL. Okay? One of the reasons Jerry can do that is because he has a quarterback that's playing on a rookie contract, and he was a fourth-round pick. All right? Just this last week, Lyle Collins got a contract. I think it gave him 30-some-odd million dollars in guaranteed money. Okay? 2 weeks ago, Jalen Smith got a very team-friendly deal, but he did get it a little bit early. Jalen Smith got a deal that's sort of like the Miles Jack deal a little bit, where it's 6 years and roughly $54 million. So that's three players. That's three. They still have to sign Dak Prescott, who's the quarterback, and he wants $35 million a year, and they're confident they're going to do that. They gave up a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper, who's playing under the franchise tag this year. So that tag actually means something, you know, or he's playing under the option, rather, the fifth-year option of his contract. They're not going to just use him up for a year and a half and let him walk away without compensating him. Now, look back at their past contracts. Sean Lee makes money. They're going to have to do something with Byron Jones coming up pretty soon. Tyron Smith, the left tackle, is one of the highest paid players in the league. Zach Martin, the guard, is one of the highest paid players in the league. Don't miss me with this whole you can't afford three guys. I don't want to hear it. You know, you draft well to build the cornerstones of your football team, and what you want to do is you want to keep those guys together and make it a long run. Look at any team that's really made a substantiated or a substantial run over any period of time, and they did it with a core group of players. There's no need to hit on guys in a draft if what you're not going to do is decide to keep them all together and make a run. So, yeah, they can do it. They can creatively find a way to do it. I talked to agents before, as recently as 2 or 3 months ago, an agent told me, and this agent actually used to work for the NFL. He worked for more than one team. He said that the salary cap isn't real. He said teams sign who they want to sign, and they find money to pay who they want to pay, and they're always trying to leverage it. So somebody might say, so you mean to tell me this billionaire owner that has $250 million at his discretion every single year is going to sit here and play with these guys' emotions over $1 or $2 million extra per year? Yeah, that's how they became billionaires. That's exactly what I'm telling you they're doing. And it's also a leverage and control mechanism. And what I mean by that is, and people get all funny when I bring stuff like this up. And sometimes you hear this, you say, okay, there's Wig making all of this noise about, you know, ownership and not ownership and partnership. No, but that's exactly what it is. You don't have that sort of control in these other sports. And the reason why is because one player makes a tremendous amount of difference. In the NFL, the quarterback himself makes that much of a difference. So therefore, the quarterback, there's a little bit more. You don't usually see quarterbacks have to beg and ask for money as much. They usually get that done because teams know their franchises come and go, and their franchises either last or fail based on a long-term play at quarterback. So usually you don't have that problem. But what the NFL owners are doing, and I think even right here in Jacksonville, what they're doing, in my opinion, is they're doing the best they can to not relinquish the control that they've always had over players, where players are actually understanding more of their value. And you're going to see a little bit of fight back. You're going to see a little bit of fight back from these. I know for a fact that teams believe, and in the case of the Jaguars with a guy like Yannick Ngakoue, that if I give you the money early, that they're going to assume the risk, so you need to take a little bit less. The player believes, no, I don't want to take less. I just want you to go ahead and give it to me now because I've outplayed my other contract and I've earned it. Here's where the time value money thing gets screwed up with people. Jan is going to play this year for $2 million. Whether he gets another contract extension before the end of this year or not, he's going to play for $2 million. That doesn't go away. The only thing that could happen is if he signs the extension, they could give him some of the money now. They could give him some of the money now that's a bonus. So when people say he's going to pass up money that he'll never be able to get, they're missing something. And what they're missing is if they give him $20 million in bonus money right now, that money comes off of the future money. That money is not, okay, here's $20 million for signing it, and this is $20 million that you weren't going to get. Now your extension starts next year, and whatever the amount in the extension is, well, that's what you're going to get paid. That's not true. The only way he doesn't get the money that he's going to get in the future is if he gets hurt. If he gets hurt, he doesn't get it. That's it. So, and he'll get more money if he waits because the price of the Yannick Ngakoue services goes up. So let's just say the Jaguars want to offer him a 4-year extension for $60 million. And let's just not worry about the guarantee. Let's just assume for the sake of what we're doing here right now, that the guaranteed part and all of that stuff doesn't matter. 4 years, $60 million. Let's just say that's what it is, and we'll do it like that to keep this friendly. The 4 year, $60 million extension, if he's given a $20 million signing bonus, then at the end of this year still counts. So he'll make the $2 million this year plus the $20 million signing bonus. Come start of 2020, he still has 4 years on his contract and he's only going to get $40 million because they already gave him 20. You see how that works? Now, let me give you the other scenario. He plays it out. He plays it out, doesn't get hurt, has a great season. They franchise tag him. They're going to have to give him $20 million under the franchise, and that's going to hurt their salary cap. So they wouldn't want to do that. They want to work out a long-term deal with him because they could lower that cap money because they could spread that out a little bit. But whenever you commit to a guy at a cap figure, you can't amortize that. That has to be done. That has to go into the cap right now. So that's the $20 million that he'll have to play for that he would have signed for this year, right? I'm not done. He's only 24 years old. Then after 2020, he hits free agency. He hits free agency. And if they try to tag him again, he'll just decline it. And he'll sit out. And he's a 26-year-old pass rusher who they're not getting the services. And if they try to trade him to a team, it's easy for him to inform that team, I'm not doing a long-term deal with you, a la Jadeveon Clowney, which then will reduce the Jaguars' ability to move him unless they move him to exactly where he wants to go and they give him the right to talk to another team about salary. So even if they do franchise tag him, that's another – by then it'll be $22, $23 million. Okay, so that's $42 million. Plus the $2 million that he's supposed to earn this year. Here's the best scenario that'll make you understand that 4 year, $60 million extension plus the $2 million he makes this year. So that's 4 years of $62 million. Let me show you how it pales in comparison. What if they can't franchise tag him next year? What if they decide they're going to keep Calais and Darius and they're not going to gut the team and they're going to, you know, pick up the fifth-year option on Jalen Ramsey or decide to do something early with Jalen Ramsey? Let me show you how this works. He hits free agency or they decide that they're going to work it out with him. You're looking at a five-year, $100 million player. That's what it's going to be. Easily. Easily. And that's being cheap. It might be 5-1-10 by the time this happens next year. Okay? Remember, we ain't doing all of the funny numbers. So you tell me, you make $2 million this year, and then you get to $100 million next year. So you get 6 years, $102 million, or 5 years, $62 million. Which one do you think makes the most sense? He's gambling on himself. He's gambling on himself. No, play this year out for $2 million. Don't let them give you $20 million of your future dollars early, just so you could take a $30 million haircut on the back end. Play it out. If you go through this season unhurt, you'll get your $20 million anyway, the same $20 million they were going to give you this year. Or they decide that they're going to go ahead and try to work it out with you, and guess what happens if they try to work it out with you? It's a five-year, $110 million deal. You know, it's almost like if you have an annuity and you see those commercials on TV that goes, you don't have to wait to get your money. We'll give it to you now, and we're going to give you your money at a discount. If you have some sort of trust fund, these companies, just come with us. Why should you wait to get your money? It's yours. Yeah, you think they're giving you all your money? Hell no, they ain't giving you all your money. They're keeping some of it. That's the way Yannick Ngakoue feels. And he's just not willing to sit here and go, well, what if I get hurt? And, oh, by the way, the team that's sitting there saying that they taking all the risks, Tom Coughlin's the senior vice president of this club. He signed Aaron Kampman when Aaron Kampman came off of an ACL injury. Aaron Kampman never even played significant minutes or snaps here in Jacksonville. He was hurt when they signed him. Miss me with that. Unless this kid absolutely shreds his leg some kind of way, and I don't like to talk about stuff like that because I don't like talking about injuries, there's no way that this kid ain't going to get paid next year by somebody. Hurt players get paid all the time, especially this day and age when guys are recovering so quick off of injuries. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with our third and final segment of the Friday edition and answer a fan Friday question as well here on Locked On Jaguars. If you found $100 on the street, would you pick it up or would you keep walking? Of course you take the money because that's what we do. So why do you keep picking winners and not betting on them? That's right. That's why I go to my bookie. That's where your man T-Wig spends his money during the season. It's fast, it's easy, and they pay when you win. Let's face it. Where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, right? So I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with them if they weren't the best. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet this football season, bet with my bookie. Do you know you could bet on games after kickoff? If by the second half it looks like your bet is going to lose, you can always just take the other side. That's right, you can flat out switch it up. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, try a parlay. If all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winners, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That promo code is Locked On. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Okay, welcome back to the third and final segment here on the Friday before the first game. That's right, we are 2 days away, folks. 2 days away from actual kickoff action here for this season. So we talked about what the Jags can do. We talked about, you know, I do want to touch on this, though. You wonder how it affects morale. How does a guy not getting his money or getting his money, how does it affect the team? These players, it's business for them, man. It's all fun for us. And it amazes me, and some people accuse me of being so pro-player and acting like, you know, this money that the owners have, that it's almost like people, you know, they throw a word around, a socialist. Like, how can you spend somebody else's money? That's not what I'm doing. What I'm doing is I'm always going up against the, why do you care how much money somebody gets when you compare it to your own life? That's what I think happens a lot of time. It bewilders me that we spend so much time watching a sport and loving a sport, but yet and still devaluing the players like they shouldn't get paid. Do you ever think about all the money we spend on football and tailgating and tickets and gambling and all of these things? Yeah, that's because they generate that type of interest. So that's why these guys really, really, really want to get paid. And then they have a short lifespan to get paid because football is a very, very physical sport. It's funny. I remember asking guys, like, man, do you care when a guy's not here? I asked the guy that this year. He said, hell no, I don't care. Hell no, I don't care when a guy, I want him to get his money. Because they know what that eventually does is that opens the door for them to get paid. And then these are their friends. I always hear guys, I hear a lot of former players say this, it's selfish, you need to be in there with your teammates, and blah, 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 blah. I haven't heard one current player ever in history say a guy needs to be here, especially when it's about a money issue. I haven't. I recently talked to a guy that plays for the Oakland Raiders. He didn't care about AB not being there. You know what he cared about? Whether or not he could help them on Sunday. And the only thing they care about is sometimes when this stuff comes up that the media has all of these questions. So, you know, what does that have to do with Jacksonville? It has everything to do with Jacksonville because you don't think those guys wanted Yannick to get paid? That's why Jalen Ramsey said what he said. Because guys want to make sure that when they go out to battle, they can go out to battle with people that can actually help them. Dogs know other dogs, and they know when guys can play and when guys can't. They also know when you pay players that can't play. They also know when you draft players and keep players that can't play. That stuff hurts morale way more than a guy not being in camp. When a GM or front office tries to justify their picks, and the GM in the front office tries to, set the stage for the future, when the writing's on the wall for a guy who's no longer here, or the writing on the wall is on the wall for a guy who's real, real super productive, but he's in a contract year and he hit a certain age threshold. And look, some of that stuff is very, very, you have to do that. You have to do that. But you really have to do it, and you get credibility when you have a track record of being able to replace guys. You ain't got no track record right now being able to replace anybody because you don't have a track record of winning. And the reason why a lot of Jaguars fans have these headaches is because it's like they're constantly hoping every single year, year after year after year. It's constantly, well, let me see what we have. I got all of this optimism, but let me see first. And the first sign of something that goes wrong, they question everything. is because for 11 out of the last 12 years, that's pretty much what it's been. And this is just my rally cry for the people, the faithful 52,000. This is what it is, man. I'm just asking you, you know, at some point, the way out of this is to draft good players, keep those players, keep them together for a sustained period of time. You look around the league and a lot of the successful teams, they have guys and they re-sign their own guys and they take care of them. And they get in front of it and do it early. The same people that complain about the team are the same people that complain about guys wanting more money. And at some point, we have to figure out as fans who we are, who we're rooting for, and why we do this kind of stuff. That's what we had to figure out. We got to figure out who we are, who we're rooting for, and stop chasing our own tail when it comes to the football team. I think more than anything, what people do is they put on their GM hat, because it's easier to do that than to put on a player's hat. Because you can imagine yourself being a GM. You can't imagine yourself. We used to do that as kids. We imagine ourselves being players. We can't imagine ourselves being players anymore because we're grown men and they're big gladiators. But we can imagine ourselves walking around in that suit. We can imagine trying to figure out, you know, in that suit, how those guys are going to, you know, be able to operate, because we kind of do it ourselves. We do it on fantasy football. We build our teams. We do it when we play Madden. You know, it's easier to pretend to be a general manager than it is to pretend to be a player. That's just the way it goes. A Fan Friday question comes from a man, Chris Walker. What's up, Chris? West side, the best side, that's the wig side. Which tackle will sub out for Darius on passing downs? Can they make an immediate impact this week against the Chiefs? I don't think Darius is the one on passing down that comes out. Marshall Darius is a pretty good pass rusher. He's a really good pass rusher, Chris. So what you'll see is Avery Jones come out more than anything. And then if you do see Darius out, that means you'll probably see two down linemen and then two or three guys standing up in these little freaky exotic packages they have. Chris had another question because he's always asking me questions. Well, he asked this one before. Is Jalen Ramsey the backup safety to Ronnie Harrison and Jared Wilson? Jalen Ramsey isn't a backup to anybody, actually. And I think it's Cody Davis and guys like that. They'll play that wing guard kid on special teams. But sure, if they get in trouble with injuries, I suspect that what they'll do is, because Jalen is a Swiss Army knife, put him at free safety where he can be involved in every single play, and then you just got to pray and hope that whoever they put in at corner can't be exploited and taken advantage of by the other team. So that's going to do it, man. Good luck, Jacksonville. We'll see you guys at the stadium at TIA Bank Field this Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs and Jacksonville Jaguars.